Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Looking at the subject, 40 years or 52 days. 40 years or 52 days. Amen. All right. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. What got my attention was verse 2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So remember that verse, 11 days' journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. The name Deuteronomy means the second law giving. It comes from a Greek word, deuteros, meaning second, and nomos, meaning law. So the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It's not a new law. It's the second giving of the same law. The Ten Commandments are repeated in it. Let's go to chapter 4 then, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. So before Moses passes off the scene, he will rehearse the law of God before Israel. Now, before a Christmas program, normally there are many rehearsals. And so Moses is going to rehearse it once again for his people. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. He said, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?" You know, sometimes when it gets into, what makes America great or so on, I tell you what made America great was the Bible basis of America. Laws based upon the Word of God. The state of Michigan still has some laws on the book that sounds like you're reading right out of the Old Testament. The sad thing is those laws so many times are ignored today. So he said in verse 9, "Only take heed," excuse me, "to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons." Verse 10, what's it say? "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in" where?
Horeb.
Remember, there were 11 days' journey from someplace to Kadesh Barnea. Do you remember where it was? Horeb. Right here. "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." So God wants them to specially remember the time when they all stood before Mount Horeb. Well, as we read on there, we read verse 10, but let's read verse 11. "And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain," what?
Burned
with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness." So I want you to remember this. So when Israel stood before that mountain, they stood before that mount on fire. We're going to read about Moses had an encounter with God before that mountain, and fire was involved. I want you to remember that. Horeb and fire. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even what? Ten commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. So God wants them to remember, and he said in verse 10, especially this. Especially remember this and tell your children about it. When you stood before Mount Horeb and the mountain was on fire and God spoke to you from the mountain. And of course, they would ask that he would speak no more from the mountain, that just Moses would get the information and pass on to them because they were terrified at what happened there on the mount. Okay, so the children of Israel are there and it's a mountain and it's a fiery experience. Let's go to Exodus 3. Let's see what happened to Moses years earlier at that same mount. Exodus 3 and verse 4. Exodus 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that, well, let me back up just a little bit for you to get. Let's go to verse 1. Exodus 3, 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of where? The desert. So this is telling us where Horeb is. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to what? The mountain of God, even to what? Horeb. So we're at that same mountain. Remember, how many days' journey was it from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea? 11 days. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in what? A flame of fire. Now here is, before that same mountain, many years earlier, this is Moses' experience. I shouldn't say many years earlier, but so the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. So what did Israel hear? When Israel came before the Mount Horeb and the mountain was on fire, what did they hear? They heard God speak. They heard God speak the Ten Commandments to them. And you can read about that in chapter 20. So Moses is before the same mountain, and the bush is on fire, and what does he hear? He hears God speak. Okay, and it's referred to as the mountain of God, verse 1. So what did God speak? Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy ground. So this is a holy mountain. We're dealing with God speaking at this point. We're dealing with fire, with holiness. And so in Exodus 3 and verse 6 then, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will what? Send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, that's a mighty call. And Moses realizes, I can't do that. I'm incapable. Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, what?
Who am I?
That I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. He realizes his own inability. And verse 12. And he, the Lord, said, certainly, what?
I will be with thee.
And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God, where?
Upon this mountain.
How far is that mountain from Kadesh Barnea? 11 days. 11 days from Kadesh Barnea. Well, Moses has a question, verse 13. Remember, Israel's been in Egypt for over 400 years. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? You have to realize Israel has lived in Egypt, as I said, over 400 years. Egypt had many gods, false gods, of course, idols. But Moses has a good question. Lord, what do I tell them? They've been for generations, all they've known is multiple gods, idols. Who do I say sent me? Verse 14. And God said unto Moses, what? I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. It's really interesting. He doesn't give them a specific name. It's like a being verb. I am. Just tell those people that I am sent you. Tell the people that the God who really exists, present tense, I am the one who exists. You just tell them I'm the true God. You don't have to get into a bunch of names. Just tell them the real God, the one who exists, sent you. So Moses is called upon to do a mighty task of people that have for generations been in rebellion and in idolatry. And it's the same way with us as we reach out to people. Many families have been for generations without God. They don't know the true and the living God. They don't know that Jesus is God in the flesh. They don't know that the Bible is the Word of God. They don't know many things. So what happened with this calling? It started at Mount Horeb. That's where this calling started, of leading Israel. So as we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, so it's 11 days, and you might want to mark this spot in your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 1, once again in verse 2. Deuteronomy 1, 2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Now, okay, we've seen the kind of the background and the history of Mount Horeb. That's Moses led his father-in-law's flock to the backside of the desert. That's where the mountain of God was. And you know, that's often where we're confronted with God face to face too, isn't it? When we feel like we're in the backside of the desert, when it seems like all hope is lost. I remember working at a truss rafter factory, and it just seemed like my life was in shambles. And I was just praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I felt like I was at the backside of the desert. I did not know what to do. And God spoke to my heart what he wanted me to do. But let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now we need to know about Kadesh Barnea. What was there about that? So how many days was there between Mount Horeb and Kadesh Barnea? 11 days between those two points. Well, what does that mean to us? Well, let's get a little background here and see what that means. Numbers 13:25. Numbers 13:25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to where? Kadesh. So it was at Kadesh where when God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and they come to Kadesh, that was where they sent out the spies. And so there's 11 days journey from Oreb to Kadesh. That's where they send out the spies and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, on all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We come unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And let's see, verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said what? "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We what? Be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Remember what we said when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, "Who am I?" And what did God say? "I will be with thee." Moses knew he was incapable. Now the children of Israel are brought to the point they've searched out the land, verse 25, for 40 days. And so they come back, and at this point they say, verse 31, "We be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than who? Than we." What were they not doing? They were not looking to the Lord by faith. So what we have is an 11-day journey from Mount Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. Now we have a 40 days spying out the land. So what is 11 plus 40? 51. Okay, so we have 51 days. And so now they come back and give their report. So on the 52nd day, if they would have went in by faith on the 52nd day, from Mount Horeb to actually going into the promised land, they could have done it from the backside of the desert into the promised land. On the 52nd day, they could have gone in. But they didn't. They would not respond to the Lord by faith. In verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as what? Grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight." Well, their lack of faith, and if you hold your place here, turn to me please to Hebrews 11. Their lack of faith of those 12 spies, and of course the 10 lacked faith, Joshua and Caleb were ready to go. They were willing to go in, but the other 10 were not. But Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6, "But without what? Faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what?
Rewarder.
A rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Well, back in Numbers, they were not willing. These 10 were not willing to go in by faith. And so what we see, verse 14, or chapter 14, Numbers 14, in verse 1, "Because of their lack of faith," Numbers 14, 1, "and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel," what?
Murmured
against Moses and against Aaron. "And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Well, verse 5, Moses and Aaron fall on their faces in prayer. Verse 6, Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. Verse 7, and they, Joshua and Caleb, speak unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then what? He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither what? Fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation, what? Bade stone them with stones. And then the glory of the Lord appears there. So they could have made it on the 52nd day from the holy mount of God. They could have been in the promised land. 11 days journey, 40 days searching the land. That's 51. The next day, the 52nd day, they could have gone in. Instead, they rebelled. They did not go forward by faith. So what did God do? Numbers 14:28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall what? Not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness, how long? 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. So what could have happened in 52 days took 40 years to take place before they got into the promised land. And of course, all those that were 20 and older would die in the wilderness. Now that number 52, I think about that. Coming from the backside of the desert into the promised land in 52 days, that's what they could have experienced. Instead, some of them would never get in. From 20 on up, they would never get in. And the younger ones, it would take them 40 years instead of 52 days to be in the promised land. That number 52 made me think of something else. It made me think of another man who crossed over from what we would say would be the backside of the desert and came into the promised land and accomplished something in 52 days. Let's notice in Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Nehemiah 2 and verse 3. And maybe we should back up to chapter 1 for just a moment. Excuse me. We'll just start in verse 1 there, Nehemiah 1:1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. That's important to remember, Shushan, the palace. That Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Now, what is a captivity? The children of Israel were taken into Babylon, into captivity, because of their sin. Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonians at that time, his son later Belshazzar, then the Medes and the Persians would take over that kingdom. And so we find Nehemiah, he is there, but now it's the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. They have been conquered by them. And so some Israelites have come back from the promised land, telling them what it's like in verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of where?
Jerusalem
also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words, and this is Nehemiah, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And now he begins this prayer to the God of heaven, confessing his sin and the sin of his people and praying for Jerusalem. In the last verse of chapter 1, verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's what?
Cupbearer.
So we get into chapter 2. And so Nehemiah has been praying. And verse 1, chapter 2. It came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then was I what?
Very sore afraid.
In this day, you know, if you're not serving the king happily, it could mean off with your head. And he was afraid. But verse 3, he speaks out and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I what? Prayed to the God of heaven. Isn't it wonderful that we can pray in a moment of time, when you have just a few seconds? And Nehemiah here is standing before the king, and he's just, okay, the king's saying, well, what's your request? And does Nehemiah immediately speak to the king? Yes, the King of Kings is who he's talking to. He's praying. He prayed to the God of heaven. And then he answers the king, verse 5. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest what? Send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Send me. Does that remind you of what we saw this morning? What did Isaiah say? Here am I, what?
Send me.
Nehemiah, well, with Isaiah this morning, we saw that he saw God's holiness. And God says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, Lord, send me. We find Nehemiah, he's told Jerusalem, the walls are down, the gates are burned with fire. And Nehemiah is saying, Lord, send me. I'll go. Lord, I will go rebuild it. I will go from the backside of the desert. I will come from the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. And I will go, Lord. If you'll send me, I will go. Verse 8, he's given his request here in a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king, what?
Granted me
according to the good hand of my God upon me. God granted this miraculous request. Nehemiah could have been killed for being less than happy in the king's presence, but and then to give such a request, send me back to Jerusalem, let me rebuild it. And God granted this request. So he goes back. And then in Nehemiah 2 and verse 19, you know, when we set out to do God's will, there's always opposition. 2:19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they what? Laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will what?
Prosper us."
That is the thing that the children of Israel, the spies, the 10 spies, would not rest in faith on the Lord. All they saw was the opposition, and they would not rest upon the words of the Lord. But Nehemiah did. He said, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." So what happened? They built. Yes, they went through trials and troubles. That's what the book of Nehemiah is about. But notice in chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Nehemiah, well, let's start in verse 14 because these same two characters are mentioned. Nehemiah 6:14. "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets, that would have put me in fear." So the wall was what?
Finished
in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in what? 50 in 2 days. God had called a man by faith. He heard of God's city being in destruction. Nehemiah responded in the Media Persia Empire, is sent from the world to the Holy Land, and in 52 days rebuilds the wall of Jerusalem. Truly a miraculous thing that happened. And this just made me think. God called Moses at the Holy Mount. When he saw the bush burning with fire, he was told, "Put off your shoes, the ground you're standing on, it's holy ground." And Moses responds reluctantly. God has to send Aaron with him to get him to do it. But he goes, and so he's confronted with the holiness of God, and then he's given a calling to go. He goes, he gets people. God tells him, "I'm going to bring your people right back here because I've got to teach them the same lesson. My holiness." So God has Moses lead them out of Egypt to come right back before that Mount Horeb to see the fire of God, to be reminded of his holiness. And they are so fearful of his holiness that they say, "Let us not hear his voice anymore. Moses, you tell us. You tell us what he says. We'll do it." Obviously, they didn't do it, but they were afraid. So from that point, God sends them forth in 52 days. They could have been in the Holy Land, but they were not. It took over 40 years. With Nehemiah, he's in a foreign land, but his heart is broken over Israel, and he prays before God, the Holy God. God miraculously sends him there, and in 52 days, from a foreign land to the Holy Land, in 52 days, the walls are up in Jerusalem. And it just made me think, what could God do with us? What could God do with us? If we would realize the holiness of God and quit trying to please the world, what could God do with us in 52 days? And if I count it out right, I think that's January 19th. January 19th. What could God do with us in the next 52 days if we were willing to see his holiness and not be ashamed of it? Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 8? Why would we even think of being ashamed of God or of his holy? We read about his holy laws and statutes and how it would be to Israel a name. But they themselves forsook his statutes. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 35. Now let's back up to verse 34. "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whosoever will what?
Come after me.
Let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall what? lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall what? Save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be what? Ashamed of me and of what? My words in this what? Adulterous and sinful generation. In other words, God is not calling us to serve him if it's easy. It's whether it's easy or it's hard, whether it's in season or out of season. He's calling us. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be what? Ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What could God do with us if we would not be ashamed of him? If we would not be ashamed of his holy word? I know it's just like with Nehemiah. They scoffed they despised them. But God did a miraculous thing in 52 days. But Israel, they would not respond to the holiness of God. They would not obey God. They would not go in by faith. And so they wandered for 40 years until they were consumed from the land. I just wonder what God could do with us in this next 52 days. When we see something from God's holy word, if we would respond to it, if we would not be afraid of the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we would respond, God, you say it in your word, I'm going to do it, Lord. I don't want to wander in my life for 40 years. I want to do your will. I want to see, Lord, what you can do. Lord, I will respond by faith. I just wonder what God could do. 40 years. Who wants to wander for 40 years? Who wants to wander aimlessly for 40 years when we could see the hand of God in 52 days? As I said, I think if I added correctly, I think that ends. I think it's a Wednesday night in January. Evidently, I did not write it down, but I think that's what it is, starting tomorrow, 52 days. May God help us to realize his holiness. We can't save ourselves. Our good works are as filthy rags. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We can't save ourselves. Only God can. It required holy blood. Our blood is tainted. Tainted with sin. We have a sin nature. We can't save ourselves. We can't die for ourselves to save ourselves. We're already sinners. Only Jesus could do that, and that's what he did. God sent his only son, only begotten son, born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and he died on the cross for us and our sins. He was buried and rose again, and by rising again, it proved that his blood was enough to wash away our sins. What does he call us to do? He calls us to turn from the life of sin to him. We can't save ourselves. It's not our work saving us. We have a free will. We have a free will to turn whatever way we want to. But do we have the will to turn to him and ask him to cleanse us from all of our sin? Tonight, if you're here and have never been saved, time is running out. Time is running out. Do you want to wander the rest of your life in sin and perish? Don't do that. Come to Jesus Christ and as Christians. Do we want to wander for 40 years and perish? No. We want to see God's hand. What could God do if each of us who know the Lord would set our minds to obey the Lord? It's amazing how when God's people realize the holiness of God, they tend to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we do not want to wander for 40 years. We want to see your hand. We've seen an example of what could have been done with Israel. In 52 days, they could have been into the Holy Land, enjoying your blessings. And instead, They wandered in the wilderness, and those 20 and over perished. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us not to be ashamed of you or of your word, even in this hard day, even in this adulterous and sinful generation. Lord, even in the generation we are living in, we do not want to be ashamed of you. Father, when we think of your holiness and what you did for us, sending your Son to die for us, Lord, here am I. Send me. Send me, Lord, to do your will. Send each of us, Lord, to do your will. May it be the focus of our lives for the next 52 days and beyond, your holiness and your will. And may you accomplish great things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.